charging down the ice. He's got a step. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty. And Connor McDavid on fire early.
One and a half year here, getting me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
Happy Monday. It's a windy one out there. Be safe. It's a cold one. What is going on out there? But welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. It's game day, baby.
Game on.
Toronto Maple Leafs get set to take on your Edmonton Oilers, coming off a disappointing loss on Saturday. We'll get to all that, as I'll be joined by Tom Gazzola coming up here in minutes from now as we'll tee up tonight's game. We'll also hear from Dave Tippett and get to Hernan's hot tip predictions and all that fun stuff. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get 20% off your next order. Lots to get to. We'll tee up Oilers Leafs, the revised schedule as the Oilers will play tomorrow in Montreal. So we'll add that one to the schedule, and then they will return to action on Friday. The Oilers sit third in the North Division with 43 points, 21-13 record. The Leafs are first, 22-10-2, 46 points. Winnipeg is right in between those two teams. The Leafs have taken six of the eight games so far against the Edmonton Oilers, outscoring the Oilers 29-16. And the Oilers, just quickly on that Saturday game, I don't think Toronto was by far the better team. I thought slightly they were the better team. Edmonton, a bit of a slow start. Not so much. I don't think it was as bad as some people made it out to be on social media. Yeah, some passes were off and all that, but there was no scores. So it was a good period for the Oilers. Scored two unbelievable goals. Unbelievable. That pass and finish from McDavid to Draisaitl, and then the no-look from Dry to Barry. There's just over 7 minutes left, and that's when the wheels came off for the Edmonton Oilers. Two goals into overtime, and the flukiest of goals for Austin Matthews, a double deflection, and it was disappointing for sure. The Oilers have been good at closing out games. They couldn't get it done on that night. Listen, the tying goal was a fluke. Goes off Justin Hall's skate right to Nylander, who's wide open in front of the net. And like I just said, the overtime goal, I mean, come on, like there's not much you can do there for the Edmonton Oilers, but they did get a point and they'll look to take another two here. 5 o'clock puck drop. Let's get to some practice notes for tonight. Mike Smith will start in net once again. Expect Koskinen to go tomorrow. Mike Smith is 11-3-1 with a 2.44 goals against average and 9.18 save percentage. Mike Hutchinson starts for the Leafs. He's 3-2 with a 2.39 save percent, goals against and a 9.22 save percentage. And he had a 31 save shutout back on March 1st versus the Edmonton Oilers. We all remember that. So, the Oilers got to get to this guy here. They get another break with Jack Campbell out and Freddie Anderson out. How about the lines? Yeah, some interesting ones, and we'll get to this with Tom. Kyle Turris was slotted with Nuge and Kyler Yamamoto. That is very interesting. Top line remains the same. Draisaitl, McDavid, and Jesse Puljujarvi. Ennis is back in. He'll play with Gaetan Haas and Zach Cassian, and Devin Shore, JJ Kyra, and Josh Archibald will make up your fourth line. That means Dominic Cahoon and Alex Chase on the more than likely the healthy scratches for tonight. That's what we saw, and I think TSN's Ryan Rashog tweeted out that those players were out late. So what does that mean? Cahoon, that turnover that led to Toronto's second goal, kind of expected him to be out. A little surprised by Chase on. He's played a lot lately. He's getting a lot of time on that first unit power play, which means now no Neil, no Chase on in the lineup. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of he's going to start a power play. Now I'm assuming, but who else are you going to have there? So for me, it's going to be Jesse followed by Yamamoto in front of the net. That's the way I see it going tonight. Now, I know everybody keeps talking about the officials and they never get power plays. Well, you got to earn them. And is there some missed calls? Yeah, but there's missed calls for both teams. So I'm not going to go against the officials like a lot a lot of people in Edmonton did on Saturday. I don't buy that. The fluky goals had nothing to do with the officials. The second goal had nothing to do with the officials. So yeah, you just got to be better and you got to earn some power play sometimes. Work a little bit harder. So I'm not going to go that route, but hopefully we get more than one power play for the Oilers so we can see what JB can do there to start. Again, I'm assuming, I don't know this, but yeah, that's Kyle Turris is the fascinating one for me. This guy came in. I was pretty happy. I can only speak for myself. I thought he'd be a great fit on that third line, and he's been a disappointment. He hasn't brought much to the table. He doesn't do much on the ice. He doesn't. He loses a lot of battles. Not the biggest guy. He's a little bit older now, but we'll see what he can do. It's going to be a pleasant surprise, or it's going to be an absolute failure, and we might see Ennis there by the end of the game. Who the hell knows? But we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll ask Tom as well, but Kyle Turris in the top six. I don't know if that makes that second line better. I'm just being honest. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I want to hear from you. That is your question of the day. Kyle Turris on the second line. Does he last the whole game on that line? And I just want your thoughts. Is he the best option right now to be playing with Nugent Yamamoto? Let me know on Twitter at HernandTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. So as far as the decor, I'm expecting it to be the same. Nurse with Barry, two Swedes, Legison and Larson, and Russell with Ethan Bear. If anything, you might see Caleb Jones come in for a Russell or a Legison, but we got nothing on the D pairings, but expect them to be the same. I don't see why you would change it, but the big news, Turris in the top six, and it's back in. Cahoon Chase on out, Mike Smith gets a start. Michael Hutchinson will go for the Leafs, but let's get right to it. Let's bring in Tom Gazzola, of course, the host on the pre and post game shows on TSN 1260, and part of the Oil Stream podcast with Dustin Nielsen. Tommy, my friend, Oilers coming off a disappointing loss on Saturday night where they gave up a two-goal lead with 7 minutes to go. I just wanted to see, I wanted to ask you, we got some lineup notes this morning from Toronto, and it looks like Kyle Turris will jump into the top six. Looks like they'll keep the big duo together. I guess, just your thoughts on Kyle Turris getting a look with Nuge and Yamamoto.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, this guy has played three of the last 17 games that the Oilers have played, and he hasn't been particularly great. I think it's safe to say he's been disappointing all season long, struggled to find his game. COVID protocol got him for a week recently. That's not good. So it just adds insult to injury. And, you know, ultimately, Hernan, we talked about it on the post game show. They didn't play a great game on Saturday, but they put themselves in a position to win.
Yeah.
And there were deficiencies in that game. And one of them, and it came to light on our show, and we hit on it, was, you know, the turnover by Cahoon in the neutral zone. Outside of that, I actually thought that second line with Cahoon, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto, I thought they had some good moments. Were they game changers? No. And, you know, they had the one line stacked up with Drysdale, McDavid, and Puljujärvi. That line did a lot of the heavy lifting, as was expected. And so here we are. Dave Tippett changes things up, puts Kyle Turris in on the left side, it looks like, with Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto. Honestly, Hernan,
yes,
I'm not expecting much from Kyle Turris. I mean, and it's just, I'm not here to slight him. I'm just going off of the body of work he's put together recently. And this season in particular, he doesn't bring a lot of jam. He hasn't, at least this season. There's been a couple of games where he's had good moments. He hasn't been overly physical. I don't think that's part of his MO, nor has it ever been. And the offensive side of his game has been very, very spotty. I'm not expecting a ton. I would like to be pleasantly surprised at the end of the night when you and I are doing post game and say, hey, Kyle Turris was a difference maker on that second line tonight. But I'm not getting my hopes up.
That's fair, Tom. And listen, with before he left his last game that he played, I thought that was his best game. But again, this guy has been a disappointment. I don't think that's being unfair at all. He was brought in to be the third line center. It hasn't worked out. He's moved over to wing. Why do you think Tippett's going to this move? Is this just one last look at Kyle Turris to see what he can do, maybe with, you know, obviously better players up in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a last look, because the guys that they have, whether it be on the main roster or the tax squad, Tippett has done a relatively good job of keeping them active. You know what I mean? Yeah. Getting them into games, whether it's small spurts here and there. We've seen Patrick Russell get in a few times. We've seen James Neal, periodically in. Now we're seeing Turris in periodically. And I think that that's part of it, just to keep him going. That's kind of my view of it. I mean, does Kyle Turris throw a different look at the opposition? Yeah, I guess. But again, not a lot of jam there. So it's you know that emoji that just kind of like shrugs the shoulders?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it. Like if I could sum up my feeling towards this, I would just send you that emoji and be like, I don't know.
It's definitely an interesting decision by Coach Dave Tippett. It's either going to go, either we're all going to be pleasantly surprised or we're going to be like, yeah, that's what we thought might happen.
Or Ennis ends up on that line. Yeah.
real quick. Yeah, Ennis will be playing on the third line. Looks like Chason and Cahoon. Now, let's just touch on that. Cahoon, we saw the turnover. We kind of speculated on Saturday night, Tom, like he might be sitting out after that one. Chason, who's played a handful of games here straight, Tommy, he wasn't coming out. He's getting that first look on the power play. What do you make of these two guys coming out? And does this mean JP is getting that prime look now with the number one power play unit?
Yep. I think it's safe to say, yep. JP on PP1 sounds like it's a go. And maybe Yamamoto gets some spot duty up there as well. We'll see. I mean, power play one generally is one line with, you know, Nurse and Barry rotating, and then whoever's in that Chason/Neal/Puljujärvi position rotates in and out. But the other thing too is you have to factor in the Oilers haven't got a ton of power plays against the Leafs anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm not anticipating them getting a ton tonight either. Archibald in for Chason. Chason has been quiet the last couple of games. And maybe this is, again, another different look. And you get some sandpaper with Archibald and Hustle from Shore. And Kara has been steady and good. And I think he's trying to get his groove back after coming back from that upper body injury he suffered after taking a pretty good shot to the beak from Brett Ritchie a couple of weeks ago. It'll be interesting. We'll see. I mean, you know that the Leafs are going to play the Oilers very tough, very aggressively, be on top of the Oilers like they have been in these last five games that has led to success, or four, pardon me, soon to be five. And I think Dave Tippett is just trying to shuffle the deck a little bit to see if he can find a combination that gets the result, and that's a win instead of a loss or an OT loss like we saw the other night.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Tom Gazzola, of course, the host on the pre and post game shows on TSN 1260. The big question, and we were both watching the pressers that just went down for the Edmonton Oilers. Where are you, Tom? And it's such a tricky question because they're so dynamic together, but where are you here for the remaining of the season on the amount of time you want to see Drysdale, McDavid playing together? Because offense does fall off a bit when those two guys are loaded on one line. Where do you come out on this topic? Like, do you like it? Do you like it? Because you can go to it in the third period if you're down a goal, if you're tied looking for that goal. But to start games, Tom, how would you like to see those two guys handled?
So in a perfect world, I think they're on their own line.
Yeah.
And we're not in a perfect world. Situations dictate, feel, as Dave Tippett likes to call it, dictates if they play together consistently throughout a game. And honestly, it doesn't bother me. I mean, if Dave Tippett thinks that that's their best chance of winning by having Drysdale and McDavid together, okay, fine. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to really argue that. And then the only arguments you really get after is like, well, there's such a drop off from lines 2, 3, and 4. From that top line. Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about the two best players in the league right now. Of course, there's going to be a significant drop off, no matter who's on that second line, third line, or fourth line. And like this, people get bent out of shape about it, and that's fine. That's the passion coming through. And I love it. And that's what makes our job fun. But Hernan, even when these guys aren't on their own or are on their own lines,
yeah,
they play together a lot throughout a game, whether it's the power play, whether it's the first shift after a penalty kill, they're out there together. Tippett plays them together late in games. If they're losing, he plays them together. So in those intermittent moments, in the moments in between, if they're together, whatever, if that gives them the best chance to win and the rest of the group's performing, great. If not, and you split them up and you think having them driving their own lines and being more consistent that way is the best way to win on that particular night, great. It's something, it is a tricky question, but really, like, it, to me at least, it doesn't bother me. It's like, all right, I mean, this is not new. This is good coaches realize and pick and choose the moments to do this the best. And that's what the most effective coaches do, is they get a good read for things and they can stack them up or they can split them up. It, to me, it's like this ongoing, ever-changing scenario. It's not set in stone by any means. And you just roll with it that way. And there's periods of the season, seasons are generally long traditionally, not like this year, mm-hmm. where, you know, you're gonna move some things around. Things get hot, things get cold. And in this 56 game season, heading into game 36, they're together right now. So we'll see how long it lasts. If that's what gives the Oilers the best chance to get over this Toronto Maple Leafs hump, so be it.
Tommy, we saw the revised schedule for the Edmonton Oilers. A lot of moving parts here. Mike Smith goes tonight. One game that was added is tomorrow in Montreal, 5 o'clock start. Expect Mikko Koskinen to get the start there. Revised schedule, Tommy, is going to be a nice crammed one here as we go towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on what you saw schedule-wise for the Edmonton Oilers?
I think that them playing in Montreal tomorrow and sneaking that one game in before the Oilers come back. Keep in mind, they had three days between games, because yeah. they don't play again till Friday against Calgary here in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. I mean, it's better than the three games last week before heading to Toronto and then having the Friday, Saturday back-to-back. I think this is a better situation overall. And then they'll play those last two games, you know, at the yeah. end of the season in the buffer week or whatever you want to call it. I don't mind it whatsoever. I think the only other game that was affected was a game against Winnipeg where the start time was pushed back an hour, which is great. Whatever. I think it was a 6 o'clock game. Now it's a 7 o'clock game yeah. local time. This worked out okay for the Oilers, I think. And going back to Montreal, it's a quick flight. The back-to-back, I think they're going to be more energized, better rested. They had the entire day off yesterday. They didn't even skate. This is a better scenario overall than what the original schedule had, I think, because you didn't have the three games and then the back-to-back in Montreal, then in Toronto on Saturday. Now you're in Toronto, you can refocus, you re-energize after a day off to go into this big game against Toronto, and then you get the Habs. Then you get a couple days off between games, and then you go back into it with Friday, Saturday. I like it. It's fine. It works out. Last week was weird. It basically washed away a good work week. And Oilers hockey from everybody's conscious for a little bit, but yeah. not bad. Nan, so honestly, I think this scenario works out just fine for the Oilers. Really, it does.
Yeah, no, it does. And like you were saying, the three games that were postponed last week, one goes tomorrow. And like you said, the other two will go May 10th and May 11th. The then Montreal, Edmonton from April 20th was scheduled for April 21st now. And like you said, the Edmonton Winnipeg game on the 26th of April yeah. has just been moved back an hour. Tom, on the flip side, Toronto, I'm pretty sure they felt lucky after that overtime goal. Michael Hutchinson's getting the start. He had a 31 save shutout back on March 1st against the Edmonton Oilers. When you're looking at this matchup tonight and the goaltender between the pipes, Tom, what are the keys for you for an Oiler victory?
I think they need to actually play a little bit sharper too, Hernan. Like they had yeah. the lead and they got to Jack Campbell with some beautiful goals. I mean, yeah. beautiful.
Unreal,
goals,
man.
Really. And that's what these superstars can do. Overall, you know, I thought they were sloppy in the first period. Sharp from the get-go will help. They're not riding a five-day break here. And I think that was one of the elements that got to them was, you know, the passing and the timing was a little bit sloppy in the first period. Then they picked it up in the second and third. But they were getting their show run by the Leafs. The Leafs were getting the better chances, the better zone time, the better looks. They had a couple of bars and then the lucky goal by Engvall and then the obviously incredibly lucky goal to win it from Matthews in OT. As the Oilers put it today, I think it was Dave Tippett, so you got to create your own luck. But the team does need to be a little bit sharper. get pucks to the net against Hutchinson. He's been pulled. He's had atrocious starts this year when he has played. Then, you know, he's blanked the Oilers in that three-game stretch. Get to him. He's not a great goalie, but you got to do yourself favors, and that's hustling, getting by Toronto's defense and their forecheck and their attack, because they're going to be tight on the Oilers again, and just take advantage of any opportunities you get. Funnel pucks to the net, put them in his feet, get him moving, score ugly goals, whatever. That's how you get to him. And that, if you can lock down things defensively a little bit and make the smart plays in the neutral zone, Hernan, that might be the recipe for success. I don't know. I'm just a broadcaster.
Yeah. We just talk about the game.
We just talk about it.
Yeah. And reminder to join us on TSN 1260 immediately following the game from Toronto tonight, as Tom Gazzola and myself will break it all down. One last one here for you, Tom. Non-Oiler related, Buffalo win tonight.
Who are they playing?
Philadelphia.
I haven't looked. No.
No Carter Hart, though. No Carter Hart.
So. Well, Carter Hart's had a tough go this year at times. You know, great goalie coming out of Sherwood Park. Still getting some tough lessons in the NHL. He's a young guy. No, sorry. What are they going to get to 18 straight?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Winless streak. I think it happens. I don't think they win tonight, but I could be wrong. It's sad to watch, and it's eerily reminiscent, maybe even worse than some of the stuff we covered back in the day, 7-8 years ago here in Oil Country. And I think the misery continues. It seems so desolate out there. So desolate. Doesn't happen. By the way, Joaquin Gage tonight on the post game show, right?
Yes, good old our favorite goaltender and overall just great guy. So who's also worked on the panel there for Oiler games a few times. So he's going to bring the heat for sure, as Matty Cassian has the night off tonight. He will be joining you on the pregame.
He will be, yeah. Indeed. So we get the best of both worlds. We're basically bringing the entirety of two guys and a goalie. Yeah, just swap
we just need
out.
Dusty, man.
Well, I'll swap him out for me. All good.
Hey, I got it. We're both in this Nielsen draft on Wednesday, and we're drafting the best principals, professor, teachers from movie or TV. If you have the number one pick, Tom, do you want to reveal who you're considering?
It has to be Mr. Feeney, right?
Yeah, that's what I. There's so like I was doing some prep yesterday, Tom. I had some free time, and there's so many good ones though. But Mr. Feeney is like the most classic one, right? Especially for our generation.
He was great. Outstanding. Any scene with Feeney was excellent. Where does Miss Frizzle go? From Magic School Bus. How about the new Miss Frizzle? People are complaining up in arms about the new look Miss Frizzle. Yeah. You know, she's gone from like middle-aged lady with the weird outfits to like the hot young teacher cartoon version, and they're complaining about it. Where are we in the world where we're complaining about the new look Miss Frizzle?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But even like other ones, like a Principal Skinner,
Seymour.
They're so like the
Super Nintendo Chalmers. Yeah, all those good ones.
The one from Ferris Bueller, Walter White, like from Breaking Bad.
Right.
Like, there's like honestly, Tommy. Like, I was looking at this, I'm like, I have no idea who I would take in the first rounds because there's so many classic ones. Now, are you gonna draft to please the masses? Are you going to draft for what you like and who you were your?
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean towards pleasing the masses, I think.
You're going the Dusty road, eh?
Absolutely. I'm just going to I'm going to pander to our audience and hopefully that results in another victory. I've been doing good on those drafts. It's been a while since we've done one, though.
Yeah, I think I've done three, and I finished second in two and then last in superhero one. So I need to pick up a win here. But it should be fun, Tom, like always with those two guys on the morning show there. But thanks again, Tommy, for doing this, and we'll talk later.
Good stuff, muchacho. We'll see you on the postgame show.
There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NHL is well under ways, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast as we'll hear from Dave Tippett. First off, I want to give you some news from today. Not much going on, but the Philadelphia Flyers scratch Carter Hart to work on his game. They take on the I'll get to that. Players on waivers today. Sens place Artem Anisimov on waivers, and the Blue Jackets play Scott Harrington on waivers. That team is reeling right now, lost again to the Detroit Detroit Red Wings will have pins there. Seven games on the NHL schedule. One of them, of course, is the Oilers Leafs. Buffalo looks to snap their 17-game losing streak as they're home to the Philadelphia Flyers. The Islanders are on the road to take on the Pens. Colorado is home to the Anaheim Ducks. It's the Jets and Flames from Calgary. Vegas is welcomes in the LA Kings, and the Minnesota Wild are on the road to face the San Jose Sharks. That is your news of the day. Of course, you got tons of action today. You got NBA action, you got NCAA action. Baseball also gets going this week, so you're going to have a handful. Oh, and Bianca Andreescu back in action tonight as well. She's into the fourth round, so a lot on the tube for you to watch. let's get to Dave Tippett as he met with the media today, and we'll kick it off with his thoughts on the Oilers' revised schedule.
Kenny kept us up to date with his correspondence with the league, and there's a lot of moving parts in that, so it's just you're pretty much the league dictates things and you got to go along with it. So it's nobody expected that to happen last week. It happened, so now you got to deal with it. Those two games at the end of the year, that does give an extra flight down there. But, it depends. If you do make the playoffs, you're hoping that you start later in the week there than too quick after that trip. But, it's the way you play out, the way it played out. There's nothing we can do about it. You just got to embrace it and make sure you're dealing with the best you can and get through it.
Kyle Turris looks to draw in the top six. Dave Tippett was asked, did that second line do enough Saturday?
Well, we didn't think our whole group was as good as we needed to be offensively on Saturday night. And Connor's line generated most of our chances. So, we'll look to tweak things up a little bit and see if we can generate a little more. But our whole group wasn't, we looked a little lethargic or coming out of that break, and we need to be better tonight.
One last one here from Dave Tippett. As he was asked, what does he want to see from Kyle Turris as he gets the bump into the top six?
Yeah, we'd like to get him back up and going. He went through, missed a week with, and that's hard on players. You take a week in the middle of the season where they can't skate, they can't barely do anything. So it's taken him a few practices to get up and going, but and he works hard in practice. He's got unbelievable skill. You talk to our goaltenders about the best goal scorers on our team. His name comes up all the time. So we need to try to get him up and going and see what he can do. And hopefully he can jump back in the lineup and give us some of those things that our bottom group is missing.
Hey, make sure to get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long dynasty and DFS leagues, breaking down all the stats and information to keep you ahead of the competition. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That was Dave Tippett meeting with the Edmonton, just with the media in general, guys. He talked there about Kyle Turris needing more from that second line. His thoughts on the revised schedule. There's head-to-head. Leon Draisaitl leads the way. 10 points in the 8 games, followed by, of course, Connor McDavid with 9-8. And Tyson Barrie has 5 points. So he's doing some good work against his former team. As for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's William Nylander with 10 points in the 8 games, followed by Tavares and Marner, each with 9 in the 8 games. And defensively, it's Morgan Rielly, of course. Who else? 5 points. PJ Brody also 5 points, quietly there, for sure. Get to Hernan's hot tip. My hot tip for tonight, you need to get more from your other 3 forward lines. When that line is jacked up like it is with Leon and Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi, you need more from the Nuge line, especially the Nuge line. You need something from that Haas line. And hey, if that fourth line can chip in, it's an absolute bonus, but you do need more. And you need more offensive zone time, more chances and all that. It can't just be the big guys all the time. They did more than enough the last game. So if they want to win this game, they're going to need some contributions from the other lines. That is my hot tip. And get to Hutch. Hey, a secondary hot tip there. Get to Hutchinson. I mean, he made 31 saves last time to shut him out. But get him moving. Get him feeling uncomfortable. So got to get to this goaltender quickly. Prediction. Honestly, if the Oilers would have won Saturday, I probably would have picked a loss tonight. So I'm going to flip that. The Oilers dropped it in overtime. I think the Oilers bounced back tonight. And I think it's going to be a 4-2 Edmonton Oilers win. Points, players. I mean, I think it's a little unfair to go with McDavid and Draisaitl because those guys can do it every single game. So how about I'm gonna go with Tyler Ennis, who draws back in the lineup. I've liked his game as of late, production wise, similar to Cahoon is not there, but they're doing some good stuff. So I'm gonna take Tyler Ennis to score a goal tonight in a 4-2 Edmonton win. And the hot tip is secondary scoring, and you've had it for most of the season. It's been good, but when you load up that top line, it's the offense is hard to come by with those other three lines. So I'm expecting a better effort from the second, third, and fourth lines. All right, guys, it is game day. The Edmonton Oilers taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. 5 o'clock puck drop from Toronto. It'd be another fun one. Always fun when these two teams meet. We'll see if the Oilers can pick up a valuable 2 points here and move closer to that first spot in the North Division. They're back at it tomorrow as well, as they'll be taking on the Montreal Canadiens, who have been off longer than the Edmonton Oilers were. So some interesting times ahead for every team in the North Division. I mean, it's going to be a fight right till the end. You saw Calgary pick up a valuable 2 points as well on Saturday, and they take on the Winnipeg Jets once again tonight. So as every team makes that march to see if they can lock down a playoff spot. All right, guys, big shout out to Tom Gazzola for joining me today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. For my producer, Juanito, this has been the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. It's game day. Go Oilers, go. We'll recap and preview on tomorrow's podcast.